all about Him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 It's all about Him. To God be the glory. Amen. That's all we want, is for Jesus Christ to be glorified, because He can do anything. Amen. He specializes what people call impossible. Amen. Let's stand together tonight and turn to the book of Romans. I know that I preached on this subject not very long ago, but I feel quickened to preach on it again. And if I feel like preaching next Sunday, I'll do it again. But it won't be the same message, I guarantee you that. So, you know, some people write in their Bible, you know, and that's a good thing. The date or a message, and that's all right, do that. But just because I go back to that verse doesn't mean it's the same message. Amen. Praise God. But the Lord just kind of quickened this to my attention, along with some other things, and I may wind up preaching three sermons. I don't know, but we're going to start right here. Amen. Romans 1 and 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, to everyone, to everyone." Nobody's excluded. Everybody can be saved. He said to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Amen. I want to preach to you tonight simply about the power of the gospel. Woo! The power of the gospel. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. If anybody knew about the power of the gospel, Paul did. If anybody knew what the gospel could do, Paul knew. He starts out by saying, "I'm not ashamed." There was a time he was. Amen. There was a time I was a little ashamed of this. When I was a little boy, we used to go to visit my cousin, and my aunts would get together. There was three of them, and they were all sisters, and they'd get together with my cousin, and all of them were apostolic Pentecostal ladies. And they'd get to, I don't know why in the world they'd do this, but they'd decide to have a prayer meeting. And this was before there was air conditioning. Nobody had much air conditioning back then. So the doors were open and the windows were open. And they did not know how to pray quietly. And they did not pray with dignity. I mean, they got down to business. And they called it getting happy. They'd start out praying on their knees for a few minutes, and the next thing you knew, they'd be up on their feet. And they'd have their hankies out. And they'd be waving them around. And they'd be going, "Woo!" And it sounded like a bunch of crazy people over there. And I was ashamed. I was hoping nobody would know I belonged to that bunch. Amen. I thought, what's wrong with those people? Don't they know we're out here playing? Amen. But I was a little ashamed of that. And then I got a little older, a little tougher. And I got away from Mom, and I'd sit on the back seat. And every service, my mom, went, first thing she'd do when she got up, before she came to the altar, she'd look back there to see if I'd moved. Amen. If I had moved, she'd get real disappointed. And right in the middle of services, she'd start that Comanche war whoop all over again. If anybody was going to scream and shout, it'd be her. And I was so embarrassed. And I know I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. Amen. I'm so grateful for a mom that would get in the spirit of travail. And she would literally pray until she became so ill, she would be at the door of death. And we'd call the pastor crying, come pray for mom. We don't want her to die. And she'd be laying there in the bed too weak to do anything else. And she'd be saying, God, save this family or kill me. Save this family or take me. I'm ready to go, Lord. Just take me on. If you're not going to save my boys. We were bawling and squalling. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I grew up in a tough household. Hey, man. And I was embarrassed. Praise God. But you know what? I'm not ashamed anymore. You want to shout, I'll just get with you. And you want to pray, I'll just get with you. Hallelujah. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Now, there was a time he was. Amen. But he was on the road to Damascus with letters in his hand, ready to go and arrest some more of those apostate or those heretic Jews that had turned into Christians. And he was on his way to persecute them and take them to prison, have them tried, have them cast in prison and beaten, and some of them killed. And he was on his way to do it again. And as he was riding along, there was something that was brighter than the midday sun. And it literally knocked him off the back of the beast of burden. And he lay there in the road, and he was blinded by the light. And he heard a voice speak from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the only Lord that he knew, Jehovah God of the Old Testament, said, I am Jesus. I'm telling you, Paul only knew one Lord. He didn't know two. He didn't know three. He just knew one. And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, you get up and you go into the city. And he said, there's a man that's going to come lay hands on you. And he went there and he waited in that brightness, in that glorious light. Amen. Until a man by the name of Ananias came and laid hands on him. And his sight was recovered. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues. How do I know that? Because he said to the Corinthian church, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And he ended the letter by saying, forbid not to speak with tongues. Now those folks that don't believe it, I don't know what they do with that verse. Because it's sure in there. As a matter of fact, it's in the same chapter, the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where they go and they take that line that says, I would rather speak 5 words in my own language than 10,000 words in another tongue. You know, they take that totally out of context because they skip over the first part. The first part explains the whole thing. Yet in the church. If I was preaching in tongues, you might be amazed at my spirituality, but you'd get nothing out of my message. That's all that verse is saying. That if you're speaking a language that people don't understand, you can't teach. You can't get the message across. You've got to speak in a language that people know. That's all that's saying. It's not saying it's bad to speak in tongues. As a matter of fact, it closes saying, forbid not to speak in tongues. So the apostle, I'm telling you, friend, he got a dose of this. And then he said, go and be baptized in the name of the Lord, washing away your sins. Hallelujah. Paul was baptized in Jesus' name. How about you? You've been baptized in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Praise the Lord. If you haven't, you can. It's waiting for you. Amen. Don't say, when God gets ready, he's ready. He poured it out 10,000 years, or 2,000 years ago. I'm going back a little far. 2,000 years ago. Amen. And he hasn't taken it back yet. Whenever he gets ready to inhale, the whole church is going up. Woo! Amen. If the spirit that was in Christ dwell also in your mortal body, it shall quicken your mortal body. Amen. It's going to get us out of here. Hallelujah. And so Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Not anymore. I'm telling you how miraculous this is. Here's a man. I mean, he even hated his Jewish brethren. You talk about prejudice. He was prejudiced to the very core of his being. He even hated Jews that didn't agree with him. And the Gentiles were not even on the chart. They were so far out there. He wasn't even going to waste his time with them. They were so filthy and ungodly. Amen. But you know what? God miraculously put a brand new heart in that man. And he loved his brethren. He loved the Jews. He went so far as to say, now Paul was a man that knew about heaven, and he was a man that knew about hell. And he knew that they were both real. And he loved his brethren so much, he said, I would that I could even be lost if my brethren could be saved. I would go that far. He said, I would go to hell if Israel could be saved. That can't happen. But that was the depth of his burden. That was the depth of his love. That was how much he cared. Amen. And he, the God of all things, this is just like God. You think God don't have a sense of humor? He took the greatest hater and made him the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, Paul, you don't like Gentiles, huh? You hate Gentiles, do you? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you the apostle to the Gentiles. I'm going to put such a love in your heart for them that you'll fight heaven and hell, and you'll fight the Sanhedrin, and you'll fight Jewish brethren, and you'll fight everybody, that the Gentiles will have the opportunity to hear the gospel. I'm telling you, God can change people. I've heard people say, I don't think people can change like that. You're right. But God can change them. When you get this Holy Ghost, God gives you a brand new heart, and God gives you a brand new nature, and God gives you His Holy Spirit. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. Now here's the trick. You got to keep the change. That old man will try to come back. That old nature will try to dominate. And you've got to keep it in subjection. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that brings us to the second message. No, I better stay with this one. Amen. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 1 through 4. Tells us that the gospel of Christ is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. That is, you talk about power. That is the gospel. Amen. Now why is that such great power? The greatest power in the world is to be able to take something that is less and make it more powerful than that which is more. The devil defeated Adam in the flesh, and there's nothing more weak than flesh. This is the weakest thing there is in the world, and everybody knows that. If you don't believe that, just try to stay on a diet. Walk into a bakery when you're on a fast. It's this flesh. This is what gets us in trouble. And that's just being nice. It has desires and hungers that will destroy you. Amen. It will take you under. Amen. It will totally destroy human beings. This flesh is so weak. And you know what God did? God said, I'm spirit. But I'm going to come down there in flesh. And so God, who is spirit, took upon himself a form of flesh. He came down in a body just like yours and mine. Now, don't you let anybody tell you that his body was different. It wasn't. He was born of Mary. And there was a conception that took place in Mary's womb, just like every other birth. The only difference is God was the Father, and it was a spiritual conception. God caused her to conceive a physical seed. The word seed is sperma. It's the same in the Greek for the birth of Jesus Christ as it is for any other birth. So that seed was conceived in the womb of Mary and grew in her just like any other baby grows, until it was time for her to be delivered, and then Jesus was born through the birth canal just like every other baby's born. It was not sublime. It was not glorious. It was not without pain. Excuse me now. Amen. I don't want to make anybody cringe, but I want you to get the picture here. Amen. It was a normal birth. There was pain involved. There was crying involved. There was gore involved. I'm going to talk about Al. Amen. It was a natural birth. And he grew up like any other baby. He nursed like any other baby. He learned to get regular food like any other baby. He started walking like any other baby. Started seeing da-da and ma-ma and goo-goo and all the rest of it, just like any other baby. He wasn't sitting around reading Encyclopedia Britannica when he was one. He was like every other baby. He grew up in a human form. He wanted to be like us. He was exposed to every temptation that man is exposed to. Yes, he was. He had every human appetite that you have. The Bible said he was tempted. Everybody say tempted. You know what that means? It means tempted. That's exactly what it means. You know what it means in the Greek? Tempted. You know what it means in the English? Tempted. He was tempted in every way, like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted, but he never gave in. Amen. He withstood by the power of the Holy Ghost that is in you. The same Spirit that was in Jesus is in us tonight. When you receive the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about the power of the gospel, and it kept him from through his teenage years. Teenage years are tough. They're tough. Amen. They're tough years. They're great years. They're wonderful years. They're not easy. Amen. And it kept him into an adulthood. He was a man 33 years old. And he fought every kind of demon that a man can fight. And he won every battle. Amen. The Bible calls him the captain or the pioneer of our salvation. What he's saying is, if I can do it, you can do it too. And this is the way. Hallelujah. Amen. He's letting us know tonight that we can be overcomers because he overcame. Power of the gospel. He came in the form of a man. You talk about power. There was power in his ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. When he went to a funeral, he turned it into a resurrection. Hallelujah. When he went to a wedding, he turned that water into wine. Amen. He healed blind eyes and opened and stopped deaf ears and caused lame limbs to leap and run and shout. And he caused mute tongues to sing and glorify and praise God. Amen. He performed miracles in nature and over the spiritual realm. He cast out evil spirits. You talk about power. And I'm telling you tonight, it hasn't diminished. I'm here to tell you tonight the same thing that Jesus did when he was walking on the earth. He's the same God with the same power, and he can still do the same thing tonight. Amen. It hasn't changed. Amen, Sister Dinah. He can still heal hearts. Hallelujah, Brother Ferguson. I'm telling you, Brother Ferguson, the first of this year, he could barely walk from his house to the church. Sometimes he had to get up and service and go outside because he was hurting so bad he just couldn't stand it. Now you might see him walking anywhere. He's walking all over town, and he don't walk like he hurts. He walks like he means business. He walks with a cane, but that's for beating dogs or anything else that tries to get a hold of him. I'm just telling you, the Lord is still in the healing business. The Lord is still in the healing business. He has not changed. Amen. The Lord is still in the saving business. Hallelujah. He's still filling people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. He hasn't changed. He's still delivering people. He's still delivering people. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from out of their sin. Amen. The gospel of excuses really is not the gospel. The gospel that Jesus saves you, but you still got to sin a little bit every day, that's disgrace. That's not the power of the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. I know a man in this church, amen, that came, and he was bound with a cigarette habit, and he was bound with an alcohol habit. Amen. And he came and prayed too, and he hadn't smoked a cigarette, and he hadn't had an alcoholic drink. And he don't even have the want to. And he doesn't even have the want to. There are some here tonight that came to this church and you were bound by drugs and God delivered you and you've been out of that scene for a long time. But God, I'm talking about the power of the gospel. Amen. Anybody still believe there's power in the gospel? Hallelujah. Amen. He said it's the power of God unto salvation. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about power. Amen. I'm talking about enough power that when he got to a cross, he could endure everything heaven and man could do to him. They put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head, suspended him between heaven and earth. And all he said was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I'm talking about power. Hey, that's a lot of power, folks. Amen. He had power to endure the cross. Amen. Despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. He said, this is not the end. This is just the beginning. This is the tough part. This is the price I got to pay. Amen. This is payday. Amen. I've got to do this so that people can be saved. Amen. This is the power of the gospel. Amen. The power let him be released from the body. And then they buried him. And when they buried him, his spirit went where spirits go. Now, there's a lot of things the Bible don't go into big details about, and this is one of them. We don't know altogether what Jesus did the 3 days that he was in the grave. But the Bible said that he preached to spirits in prison. Now, that means two things to me. Amen. Death holds two kinds of people. It holds the righteous and it holds the unrighteous. Hallelujah. It holds the devil and all of the rebellious angels. Amen. That there's two kinds of spirits that are held in death until judgment. And so I believe that when he was in the grave, I believe he was doing some preaching. But you know what kind of preaching I think it was? I think it was going down to the devil and say, oh boy, you've lost it now. Hallelujah. I have come for keys. Hallelujah. And I'm getting ready to get out of here. And when I leave here, I'm not leaving alone. Hallelujah. The Bible said that he led captivity captive. It's death that has captivated human beings and held them in its sway. But the Bible said that when Jesus resurrected, he didn't come up by himself. Amen. Even when he was crucified, some people got out of their graves. The Bible said saints were walking in the streets of Jerusalem. I'm talking about some power here tonight. That's the power of the gospel. It releases the bands of death. Even death couldn't hold him. Amen. Do all you can do. And they did. They sealed it with the seal of Rome. They put soldiers there. Amen. But on the resurrection morning, when the ladies got down to the tomb talking about how they're going to roll away the stone was rolled away. Hallelujah. And the angel said, whom seek ye? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He's alive. And he's alive forevermore. That's the power of the gospel. The gospel has some power in it, folks. Amen. We're not talking about something dead and dull and boring here tonight. I don't think this is that. Yeah, it sounds like y'all got a little excited out here. It started with choir practice of all things. That was even before prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Hey, there's still some power in this gospel. There's still some power in this gospel. Amen. You and I, we don't have to be ashamed tonight. Praise God. We don't have to be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Praise God. Love the story I read one time about a soldier who was standing at attention from the parade ground. The general comes by. He looks down. He sees that the cuff of his uniform is frayed just a little bit. And he looks at him and he barks, soldier! Is that uniform frayed? Soldier still standing at attention barks back, no sir, this uniform ain't afraid of nothing. And he didn't get in any trouble. The general liked his answer. And I'm telling you tonight, this church don't have to be afraid of nothing. Amen. Because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It hasn't changed. It's still the same. He said it's the power of God unto salvation. Salvation from sickness. Woo! Salvation from sickness. Salvation from sickness. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, what if the Lord doesn't heal me? You ain't going to get healed one of these days. It may be after you die, but you're going to get healed. Sickness is not going to follow you on the other side of the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, you may struggle here. You may have some sickness. You may have some problems. You may deal with some things. Amen. Praise God, but don't give up. Keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. Amen. I'm telling you, the power of the gospel saves from sickness. The power of the gospel saves from sin. Sin is a sickness that's bit every human being. Amen. Let me tell you what sin is. First of all, it makes you sick with desire. The Bible says that every man is drawn away by his own lust. Lust is strong desire. Amen. It finds an object that it desires and it's drawn to that. And then that lust conceives and we act on the lust and then sin occurs. And as soon as sin occurs, there's pleasure for a moment, but then there's the regret. And then there's shame. And then there's guilt. That's the cycle. That's the cycle. First it's fun, and then there's a sickness that comes. And there's a disappointment that comes. And there's a feeling of failure that comes. And then we say never again until the next time. And then we find ourselves in a vicious circle of failure. Amen. And after a while, we just laugh with everybody else because everybody else is in the same boat. And we're trapped in that situation. And we're powerless to get out. And some people, they're so hopeless in that cycle that they cannot get out. And so they ridicule anybody that says they can get out. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm out. Hallelujah. Praise God. He brought me out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on the rock to stay. And He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, there's power in the gospel. It'll still bring people out. It'll still break that vicious cycle. Amen. It'll cleanse. Hallelujah. It'll heal scars. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sin, there's a cure for it tonight, and it's still the power of the gospel. Amen. Salvation it cures lostness. Lostness is simply that feeling that we have when we're away from God, separated from God. It's that feeling of hopelessness and that feeling of helplessness and that feeling of purposelessness. Why am I even here? What does life mean anyway? It doesn't matter what happens to me. That's the lostness that we experienced before Jesus came. When He comes in, purpose comes in your life. Woo! Hallelujah. Him and I know why I'm here now. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind. I want to live a life of purpose. I don't want to just live, and I don't want to just play the game, and I just don't want to see how many toys I can get together, and I just don't want to see how much money I can owe, and I don't want to see how many debts I can make, and I don't want to see how many credit cards I can max out. Amen. I've made up my mind. I want some purpose in my life. I want some meaning in my days, and I found that in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Saved from the wrath of God. Telling you, there's something in every human being. There's down deep. That's the reason people try to explain God away. Because there's something in us that knows that someday there's a judgment that's coming. You can repress it and you can bear it, but there's something in the spirit of man that knows there's a judgment coming someday. That knows that history is headed somewhere. The Bible said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. So whenever we're saved from the wrath of God. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Hallelujah. When I see Jesus, it's going to be with a smile, not a frown. It's going to be with a shout of glory and a shout of triumph. Amen. And salvation from death. I love that old song. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Amen. We may take loved ones and we may have to put them in the ground for a little while. But you hear me today. If they died in Jesus Christ, amen, that grave's not gonna hold him. Paul said it. Jesus said it so beautifully. They said they are asleep in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But at the sound of the trumpet and the second appearing of Jesus Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Amen. I'm talking about the power of the gospel. We got something powerful here tonight, folks. Amen. And then he said, it is to everyone everyone. No one's excluded. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your color or your culture is. It doesn't matter what your language is. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is. You can be poor, or you can be rich, or you can be in between. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your physical frame. You can be strong, or you can be frail. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter whether you're young. It doesn't matter whether you're old. It doesn't matter whether you're a person that is relatively innocent or a person that has been through a lot. It does not matter. Amen. This gospel is to everyone. And the only qualification is you just have to believe. That's all you got to do. You just got to believe it. Amen. If you believe it, he said, that's all it takes. Amen. Somebody said it so very well. They said grace is free and salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It cost Jesus Christ everything, and it's going to cost you the same thing. It's going to cost you the same thing. It's going to cost everything. If you're going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to give him the same thing he gave you. You're going to have to give him everything. You're going to have to give him all your sins. Hello? Some people try to hold on to them. They let the devil beat them over the head with it. Friend, don't do that. Let it go. It doesn't matter what you were. That's not the important thing. That's what the word justification means. The best definition I ever heard about justified is just as if I'd never sinned. Now, God really does that. You were an enemy, but now he makes you his friend. You were far, but now he brings you close. Sin, there was a hate relationship, but he wipes that out, and he brings you into the realm of his beloved. That's really what happens. That's how powerful the gospel is. I said, that's how powerful the gospel is. The gospel is so powerful that it brought the righteousness of God down to earth, so that, and it is so powerful, the blood can wash away all the unrighteousness of man so that he can be made righteous in Jesus Christ. That's how powerful the gospel is. Sons of wrath can become sons of God. That's how powerful the gospel is. It's the most powerful thing there is on the face of the earth. There's nothing like the power of the gospel. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you so very much for your attention. Amen. But I want to give you an opportunity now to respond to the gospel. Amen. To respond to the gospel. Amen. If you're empty, he can fill you to overflowing. He will fill you to overflowing. The Bible said, it shall be in you a well of water springing up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say it's a well. Old Testament, he talked about a cup, but in the New Testament, it's a well. Glory, springing up, springing up, springing up into everlasting life. Amen. You don't have to be empty anymore. You don't have to be lonely anymore. You don't have to be defeated anymore. You don't have to feel discouraged anymore. You don't have to feel defeated anymore. You don't have to feel unloved and unwanted anymore. You don't have to feel excluded and unaccepted anymore. The Bible said we are accepted in the beloved. Amen. I'm inviting you today to start a new life in Jesus Christ. I know it sounds too good to be true, but it's not. It's the power of the gospel. It cost him everything. It cost him everything. Amen. It's not cheap, but it is free. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't get good enough to have it. He just has to pour it out. But when you're filled with it, you experience the power of the gospel. And you are a changed individual. And life takes on meaning and purpose. And as Brother Brandon said, there's joy and there's peace and there's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Who would not want something like that? Let me invite you today to this altar. Amen. I think we ought to come, saints of God. I think we ought to join around here. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And I think we ought to rejoice in the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. Oh, anybody been touched by the gospel tonight? Anybody been set free by the gospel tonight? Has your life been changed by the gospel tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you for this great gospel today.